Good evening, everybody. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, it is September 29th.
Awesome.
And this is our third session together.
I'm honored.
Again, I want to thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you.
I've been encouraged just being around you and just being able to share the word together. It has been wonderful.
A beautiful time.
So we're sharing along the lines of the courage to carry Christ in you. And we have some books left. But if you can be here on Sunday morning, the first Sunday in October, we'll make sure that you get a copy of this book. Praise the Lord. It's waiting just for you. And the good news is free of charge.
Hallelujah.
And so all you got to do is get here and we'll get this to you. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I'm thinking about some of the current assignments that Mutual Faith Ministries has and some of the things that you're currently doing so that we can hook our faith with you and so that we can be continue to be generous towards your ministry. Tell us what's happening.
Well, thanks. You know, through the years, God's always allowed us to establish campuses and teams, ministry teams, all national leadership in all these different nations. So in, you know, previous years, we would take on some big assignments when our heart was interrupted by the Lord to do something.
Yeah.
We never sign up for things just to do things because they become so burdensome in the flesh. But if it's something the Spirit of the Lord quickens us with, then we're surprised and we, you know, nervously sometimes say yes to the assignment and walk it out. But there's always provision there. But our assignments recently, most like right now, we're in some smaller assignments, which I really, really like because we're helping people in very remote regions. So one of our newest assignments is in Cuba.
Yeah.
And so I was just in Cuba a couple of months ago and first time there. And this is the one thing I like about the Lord working. We don't want to just call it quits. We don't want to just say we're finished. Let's always be ready for the Lord to speak and quicken something and live out the fullness of what he has for us. So I'd wanted to go to Cuba for many, many decades, actually, and this was finally the right season, the right open door. And so I went there, and in the process of seeing the pain and the challenge and the calamity, I also saw the fruitfulness of our ministry there with our Bible schools.
Yeah.
And so I had a graduation with like 22 people. It's so beautiful, so exciting, actually, just electric with the love of God, the energy of people knowing who they are in Christ and learning some of these truths we've been talking about. Like, you have favor with God, you know, the Lord is with you, you know, and all these wonderful, wonderful things. So, and but they needed a building to help steward the whole Bible schools and all these different churches in the regions of Cuba. And so everybody is challenged and broke. So I just said, well, I'll build it, you know. I'll do it, you know. And everybody was stunned and surprised. And it's not a lot of money. It's not a big deal. But the Lord is putting that together now as we speak in the construction of it. And so little things like this I like in remote areas, rural areas. A lot of times ministry in the cities has the resources to do things, but sometimes in the outer regions, in the remote regions, there's not resources available. And so I love to invest in the villages and with some of our leaders, and we got the best leaders there.
Yeah.
So that's one project that we're doing now. And then I'm finishing building a mission center in Liberia. Liberia, as I told you, you know, when we first started this Sunday night series, that was my first campus in 1984, 85 through 1990. In the war there, we lost everything through the calamity of civil war. It was just unbelievably, it's almost indescribable. But I've always had in my heart to go back and reestablish where I started. So we're doing that now, and I agreed to build this Mission Center campus. This is quite a bit more money, but it's okay. We're excited about it. There's a great momentum now for the ministry in Liberia again, and so we're doing that as well. And then one other campus in the Ivory Coast, which is a French-speaking country, and we've bought land and built a facility there now. And I'll hopefully be dedicating that very, very soon this calendar year.
Praise God. Yeah. So a lot of good things in store. And we're going to put Brother Keith's ministry up on the screen here in a moment. So if you want to sow into one of these projects or if you just want to give an offering into Mutual Faith's ministry, the general ministry or wherever it, you know, they need it the most, just I want to encourage you to go ahead and sow a good seed to their ministry. We sure appreciate all the assignments that God has given you. And you know, the neat thing about it is each assignment that God has given you, there's always been the provision.
Always. Always. And that's what's so beautiful. It's a refreshing thought.
Yeah.
I can honestly look back over these 40 years, just like you with 42, 43 years here at Heart of the Bay. You look back and you say, you know, our God is faithful.
Wow.
And He's always had full supply. And I think living out the vision, and that's part of, you know, carrying Christ in our world and having the manifestation of Jesus in our own environments.
Yes.
In our own space, so to speak, the Lord is always sufficient.
Yes, He is.
His sufficiency never runs out.
Oh, you know? Yeah. He's so faithful. You know, the Bible talks about that great is His faithfulness.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
He'll never put something in your heart and tell you to do something that He's not going to back up.
Absolutely,
and
absolutely.
So that's our testimony. That's your testimony.
You know, I always like to tell people. In fact, it kind of ties in with our discussion with the courage to carry Christ in you. It's like when Elizabeth saw Mary, there was a quickening in Elizabeth.
Yes.
She had a recognition that Mary had something from heaven.
Right.
You know, and there's a discernment. It's like, you know, there's a verse in Galatians 4. Paul says, "My joy is to see that Christ is formed in you."
Oh,
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
In other words, it's one thing to believe the word, the
Come
seed
on.
Of the word, but it's another thing to have it grow where it's visible,
yes.
where it's discernible by others. And I always love to tell the story. My favorite picture of Heidi. Heidi is my wife. I met her at Bible school at Rhema, and we in the Nanowski Center. For those of you familiar with Rhema, it was a roller rink there on campus, and this was back in 1981 or something. I met her, and we were going through the door of the Nanowski Center, and I was kind of, you know, discouraged. It was like the first week of November or something, and we're going through the door, and I was coming in, this lady was coming, and we got kind of stuck in the door.
Yeah.
And her eyes caught my eyes, and heaven came down, and I was wondering,
that's awesome.
Who's this girl, you know? So
yeah.
I watched her skate, and I thought, you know, who's this? She didn't seem to be with anybody. And so at the end of the night, my sister was also at Rhema at that time, and she was with me that night, and Heidi later testified she thought that was my girlfriend or my wife. It was my sister who was with me.
Oh.
But Heidi was sitting down, and she was in a lot of pain from the skates or something and all alone. So I went by her, and I said, "Do your feet hurt?" You know, that was my wonderful approach. It was so brilliant. And, you know, she made we had a little conversation. But then we found ourselves a week or so later going to a prayer meeting together. Anyway, you know, we fell in love and got married,
yes.
you know.
You guys have been married 42 years?
It'd be 42 in December,
wow.
yes. It's amazing. But when she was pregnant with our oldest son,
yeah.
my favorite picture is a picture of her outside standing sideways with what she was carrying,
yes.
the baby. And she was watering some flowers
yes.
and has kind of a glow on her face. There's something you can tell when people carry Christ, there's something about
yeah.
your countenance. There's
yeah.
something about your expectation, your joy. There's something about, even though everything may be going wrong. I mean, life may be the pits. Everything may be, you know, like they say, going to hell, so to speak. But there's something about when you know Christ is in you and
yeah.
you're carrying the revelation of Jesus in the midst of everything that seems to be troublesome.
Yeah.
And and this is what Paul said. I'm excited when Christ is really formed in you. And that's why when we give ourselves to the Word, when we give ourselves to the teaching of the church, you know,
yeah.
and say, you know what, Sunday, the service, that's important. This is a sign for me to hear from heaven. And you come and you
yeah.
fellowship with the saints and you hear from the heart of the Father and you lift your hands, you lift your voice, you raise a banner, you
yeah,
know,
that's
of
right.
the victory of God's goodness in your life. But it's like Christ grows in you more and more.
Amen.
So you can express, you can have that visible, tangible reality
wow.
of God's goodness in your life throughout the week. And I think that's an important distinction, to have that kind of visible glow and glory.
Oh, man, where we radiate the goodness of God.
Amen.
We radiate the love of God. Mm. And people that are living in darkness, they can be attracted to the light that is in us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because the light of God in us, it dispels darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that scripture in Romans, I think it's 12:21. He says, we're not to be overcome with evil, but we overcome evil with good. Well, what does that mean? Well, we receive a revelation of the goodness of God in our lives, mm-hmm. the grace of God in our lives. Mm. And as we go about our lives, His goodness just flows through us to other people, and it radiates. And really, it can make people hungry for what we have.
Absolutely.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And you've seen that. I'm thinking about Beirut. I'm thinking about all the Muslim people that have been saved. We were there years ago when we were praying for Muslim people at the altar. And I know that has just increased and increased and increased more and more. But what did they see? I believe they saw the goodness of God.
Absolutely.
They've seen your good works, all the things that are done there. But they're seeing the goodness of God. And what does the goodness of God do? People are drawn to it.
They're drawn to it.
People are drawn to the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God, really, that will lead people to change.
Yeah. And that's why we have to be comfortable, you know, that God is good.
Amen.
At the core, like you say, God is love. But goodness just flows from the love of the Father. And sometimes I think our worldview of our Heavenly Father is a little bit scary, a little bit vindictive, that we have to measure up in some way. But that's why I think Jesus and the cross, you know, can change our understanding of our standing before the Father, that our standing before the Father, who is holy, righteous, just, pure, all these beautiful attributes, but our standing before God is really not based on us. It's based on Jesus. And when you can shift your thinking to that kind of radical love, that God sees me in Christ, I'm eternally secure. And to me, that makes me want to shout, you know, hallelujah.
Yes,
this is really the good news.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I know that one of the key phrases that you've talked about over the years is being a distribution center.
Right.
And, you know, I think about that scripture over it, and I think it's Genesis 12, where it talks about when God called Abram to go out of his home country.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to make you a blessing in order that you may be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the Amplified says in Genesis 12, too, that you will dispense good to others.
Yeah.
We're dispensers of the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the thing about that, and I like the imagery of a distribution center, because now in our culture, that's all you see if you drive around because of, you know, the places like an Amazon or whatever, all these massive warehouses everywhere and distributing everything. You get anything you want at almost any time within a 24-hour period, which is interesting. The way we live now, you find it at your fingertips and it's suddenly there. But for the believer as a distribution center, I always tell people, you got to be loaded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, that's right.
And you remember what it was like to be loaded,
yeah,
don't
I do.
You?
Yes.
But we would talk about loaded kind of in a derogatory way, as though you're under the influence of a false spirit or a, you know, but I'm talking about being loaded with the life of the Spirit and being spiritual things. Or really, you could say, being loaded in Christ and with Christ, that Christ is in me. And that's why, you know, like the scripture talks about, we always need to be ready to give an answer.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't give an answer if you just, if you're not established in the love of God, like you talked about, you know, in our first Sunday together. It's really, 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 really important to stay loaded.
It is.
Yeah.
I think about the scripture, and I think that, you know, you shared a little bit about it last month, too, where Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the prayers that he prayed was that they may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yeah.
Be filled with all the fullness of His love.
Yeah.
Be filled with all the fullness of His goodness. One translation says that you may have the richest measure of His divine presence.
Wow.
And become a person wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. So I love the fact that you're talking about, hey, get loaded.
Yeah.
Not in a wrong way, but get loaded. Get full of the Word. Get full of the Spirit, because we are carrying Christ in us to a lost and hurting generation.
Yeah, I love it. And like you say, being like filled with the Spirit, I used to always think of that in terms of, you know, that I had to pray in the Spirit a long time, or pray in tongues, or have that kind of evidence or manifestation. But, you know, the Bible also talks about that you can be filled with the Spirit singing to yourselves.
That's good.
In songs and hymns. And so what I find myself, and I know you do as well, you know, we played little things, old little songs. I even, people probably think I'm crazy, but I even play sometimes children's Bible songs.
Sure.
I have them, you know, and I sing them in my car, and I sing them. Sometimes I go up to bed early. I'm tired.
Yeah.
And I just play old hymns, and I sing. I sing to myself, and you know what I'm doing as I'm singing, making melody in my heart to the Lord? I'm being filled with the Spirit.
That's so good.
And there's something that you can do that's not always in tongues per se.
Yeah.
That still is an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, many times what happens to me, probably to you as well, is I might start singing these beautiful songs, and then suddenly, oh, glory to God, shalabadi.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm praying in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Then I'm off the bed. I'm pacing in my floor. Then my room is not big enough. I open the door, and I walk out in the hallway in the bonus room. Glory be to God.
Amen.
I'm about ready to shout. You know what I mean?
Yeah, speaking to yourselves.
But you're filling yourself with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's a way to develop courage.
That's
hey, Christ
good.
Is in you, you know? I don't have to be afraid like you talked about before. I don't have to be afraid about tomorrow, about the future, about the economy, about the government, about nothing.
Yes.
You
know? Maintaining the fullness of the Spirit. I love what you're talking about.
Mm.
Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Oh.
Just filled with all the fullness of God. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And when we are, then we have something we can give out.
Absolutely.
We become His delivery boys.
Oh.
We become His water boys, like you said years ago.
Absolutely.
Amen.
We are the watery, you know, the water delivery, you know, system for the earth. You know, God uses men and women to convey. And that's why, you know, the Bible talks about why in the world would God choose the foolishness of proclaiming, the foolishness of preaching.
Yeah.
But He chose it. Now think about it. People think it's crazy. But God says that so-called worldly foolishness will confound
the wise.
It confounds the wise.
Wow.
It makes them mad. It irritates people. Just the proclamation of, hey, you have favor with God.
Mm.
The Lord is with you. You're blessed among everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that ticks people off. But somebody has to announce it. Somebody has to say it. And you have to have the courage to do it. And the way I find is to be staying filled.
Yes,
you know,
staying filled. The Lord gave me a phrase many years ago. Then we're talking about keeping your heart built up so that you get to a place of fullness through singing or whatever the case may be. But the Lord gave me this phrase, that built up people will build others up.
It's good.
And that kind of correlates to that encouragement that Elizabeth brought to Mary.
Excellent.
So as we keep ourselves built up, and in church, you know, don't wait till you come to church to get built up. Sure, if you're empty, come on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I believe that God's best is for us to stay as full as we possibly can. So that we get to a place of overflow.
Yeah.
And where does that overflow go? Well, that's that river of life flowing out of us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It ministers the blind, the halt, the maimed, people that are in spiritual darkness. That's what it's all about. We are dispensers of the goodness of God to those around us. You know, another way that we can stay full, and I don't think that people think about it too often, but in that same context of Ephesians 5, where it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The next verse is giving thanks.
Wow. Yeah.
Giving thanks.
Yeah, that's very good.
You know, sometimes we can walk around just all day and just thank the Lord for what He has done.
Mm-hmm.
Thank Him for who He is. Give thanks. I believe this, that thanksgiving is the door for more.
That's good.
The more of His blessings.
That's very good.
The more of His fullness in our lives. So, praise God. Let's just give thanks right now, Lord. We give
Hallelujah.
You thanks.
Yes, we do, Father.
We worship You today.
We do, Lord
We
Jesus.
Give You thanks, Lord God. We magnify Your
Thank
holy
you.
Name. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. We exalt your holy name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We thank you for Psalm 68:19, that you daily load us with your blessings. You daily load us. We're loaded for a purpose.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Father, for giving each and every one of us the courage to carry Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing in us. May he flow through us for the glory of God. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory
Hallelujah.
To God.
Thank
Glory
you, Father,
to
for
God.
That. Glory to God.
Lord, we just pray for people that are even watching or listening right now, Lord.
Yes, we do.
That may be hurting in their heart. They may be hurting in their souls, their mind,
Lord.
Their will, their emotions, Lord. They may be hurting in their physical being, Lord. We come together and
Father.
Set ourselves in agreement, Brother Keith and I,
yes, Father.
Asking you, Lord God, to minister
Thank
your
you,
spirit, to minister your love, to minister your healing power. Lord God, we thank you for healing those that have been broken in heart. And Lord, those that have been challenged in their soul, Lord, from a bombardment of the enemy's thoughts and lies.
Lord Jesus.
We come against that right now
we do.
In the mighty
in
name
Jesus
of
name.
The Lord Jesus Christ. We apply the blood of Jesus
you,
over
Jesus.
Your hearts and over your minds in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Stretch forth thine hand, O God,
Lord
to
Jesus.
Heal. And grant it, O God, according to your holy word. Grant, Lord, a quickening in their physical beings in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord, right now, for where people sit, for people watch, thank you, Father, for ministering health and healing and strength to them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, may there be a renewal, Lord.
Thank you,
a renewal, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And a restoration, Lord, in their souls. A restoration. Help them to see the love of Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Help them to see Christ in them, the hope of glory. And where things have been let go and laid aside, Lord, may they pick up that vision again.
Yes, Lord
And
Jesus.
Run with the vision.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus.
We give you praise for it, Lord. We magnify you for moving on their behalf in the mighty name.
In Jesus'
In the name above every name.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Ooh, glory to God. Praise
glory,
God.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen.
Well, like the old song says, his name is wonderful.
His
like
name
you
see, is wonderful.
He prayed in the wonderful name of Jesus, you know. And, you know, to me, like you were saying, the whole idea of even giving thanks, it keeps your heart tender.
It does.
It shows you're trusting in the Lord, not yourself. And he does all things well. His name is wonderful, so we might as well lift it up.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So let's talk just for a few moments, if we may. You know, we've been talking a lot about the courage to carry Christ in you and talking about some God assignments that he gives all of us throughout our life. Now, I'm sure that there are people that are watching and that are listening. They're unsure of what their assignment is.
Right.
They're unsure of, you know, what exactly the Lord would have them to do. What would be some keys for them to be able to tap into, if you will, the will of God or the purposes of God for their lives?
Well, you know, I like to tell people you don't have to be something you're not.
That's good.
You know, you don't have to be me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be you. You know, when I first went into the ministry, I thought I had to be, for example, like Brother Hagin.
Right.
And then I thought, well, maybe I need to be like T.L. Osborne.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried the first season of my ministry to preach like Brother Hagin.
Right.
And I tried to have evangelistic
crusades.
Did
you twiddle your thumbs?
I did, but I never twiddled them the right way. I think I was going in reverse. But anyway, I tried to be like T.L. Osborne because I thought that's who I had to be.
Yeah.
But the Lord finally got through to me because of I was so uncomfortable.
Very good.
That, Keith, I made you you.
Yeah.
And you can be you. You can be a simple gospel preacher.
You're one of one.
You're one of one. And I always tell people never to measure your effectiveness before the Father based on anything natural.
Yeah.
You know, because I used to always have that problem. I thought I had to be somebody. And I always was trying to make myself into somebody. Probably when I met you, maybe it didn't come across at that time, but I was insecure. I didn't know if anybody would ever support our ministry. You know what I mean? And so you try to be something you're not to gain favor. But now I've learned over, you know, in the recent 20 years or so, my favor with the Father is all I need.
Come on.
It's everything.
Yes.
And he organizes everything else. So I would tell people, be free to be free. You know, in other words, be who you are.
Yes.
Your gifts are different.
Yeah.
Your connecting point. You know, it's like when I talk to certain people. I was talking to this brother. He was a paraplegic brother. He came and visited my son's church, and so I'm talking with him, and he's brilliant. He's like a scholar, and we were talking theological things, and of course he was asking me questions I couldn't answer, so I said, please ask my son. I don't know how to help you, but Josh can help you better than me. Because I'm not gifted in things he was talking about, per se. But what I like about the beautiful mix of being with God's people, you know, some people just do it through their skill set of service.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Some do it through proclamation or you know, that's why the Bible talks about the different motivational gifts.
That's right.
And some do it through administrative. Like I was explaining when I preached at your church a month ago or so about, you know, I have people help me do technology things. I don't... But they minister to me, and they're a blessing to so many people.
Different gifts, different
so
graces.
I would just say, be free to
That's
be
right.
free, you know.
And remember, you know, think of Psalm 139, says, you are fearfully
Absolutely.
And wonderfully made. You know, in the world of art, you know, if they have a painting, you know, this painting may say one of a thousand.
Yeah.
But always that one of one.
Absolutely.
And so
That's good.
You're one of one. And so we need to value who we are in Christ.
Yes.
Value the work that he has begun in us.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we can seek the Lord, you know, the Bible says in all of our ways, acknowledge him.
Yep.
Just acknowledge him. And what will he do? Well, then he'll direct our paths.
Wow.
And it's, you know, God needs you to be you.
Yeah. You know, it's like if this was the painting you're talking about, and this painting was put into a puzzle, and this was a 1,000-piece puzzle.
Right.
You know, your piece only works in one place.
That's good.
And you may not be the visible place. You may be something that's a little distinguished. You know, I always need to feel comfortable where, you know, the masterpiece, the one of one, is what God has done. And we all have a place in the picture.
Yeah.
But the place we have in the picture may shift the way the light hits it. It's kind of like watching creation. Like we have a retreat. It's called the Retreat at Miller's Landing, and I host pastors and leaders and people.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll sit there on the lake and I'm overlooking the lake or watching a sunset.
Yeah.
And different times of the evening I'll look at different things based on the reflection of the light. It's all part of what I'm seeing, and it's all important. It's not that one part is more important than there's not one part more important than another.
No, that's right.
And so you never minimize yourself, because you always have to go back to what we first talked about in this. The interruption in our life is the gospel that's presented from the heart of the Father. You have favor with God, and Jesus is your favor.
Lord,
you have
God.
Favor with God. You know, you have everything you need. And these things have to be anchored in you so you can take your place in the picture and not have any, never minimize yourself.
That is so good, so good. And Corinthians warns us about not comparing ourselves with one another. As a matter of fact, it says, if you do compare yourself with someone else, it's unwise or it's foolish.
Yeah.
Here's what happens when people compare themselves with another person. They seem that the enemy always brings this picture of you coming up short.
Exactly. Totally.
No. And none of us come up short in what God has put in our hearts. Mm. Amen. And so there's no place for discouragement or depression or anything like that, because, you know, we're not doing what someone else has done.
Yeah.
You be you. You do what God has called you to do. Have the courage. Glory to God, to carry Christ in you.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory to God. Amen. Mm. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this has been such a rare treat for me to sit here. And I just wanted to take a look at one other thing here, if I may, real quick before we close. I just love quoting Brother Keith. You know, Keith is known for his Keithisms. And I think sometimes at the annual gathering, right, of your minister friends, the Mutual Faith Ministries, we talk about some Keithisms. Mm. One of the most wonderful Keithisms I like is, because I was a basketball player, nothing but next.
Oh, my.
You need to realize you may not be Steph Curry in the realm of the spirit, but you are a nothing but net person to God.
Absolutely. And the imagery of that, of course, is being a follower of Jesus, where Jesus talked to the fishermen and, said, follow me. I will make you, when you follow Jesus. He does all the work. He does everything. He'll make you fishers of men. In other words, the Bible says they forsook their nets. In other words, they forsook their natural net worth,
yes,
where their livelihood came, and followed Jesus and became a net,
yeah,
that had worth.
Oh, that's good.
And so that's the joy of following Jesus, that your life has a value that's earthly and heavenly.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. And then another one that I really love, and I use it all the time, don't let a setback cause you to sit back.
Ooh.
Well, a lot of people have been set back in the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're not sitting back.
No.
Don't allow a setback cause you to sit back. Get ready for a comeback.
Glory, amen. Glory.
Praise the Lord. And Jesus is the comeback champion of the universe.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And since he did, you can come back. You can overcome anything that's trying to overcome you. Mm. Just remember your assignment. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, Brother Keith, man, this has been so good. Again, the book is free of charge for those who will come on Sunday morning. I feel like I'm a car salesman. Somebody says, what if I don't come Sunday morning? Well, you need to come Sunday morning,
right,
to get the book, because we can't really send it out to you. It's The Courage to Carry Christ in You by Brother Keith Hershey. Any final thoughts before we close, Brother Keith?
Well, it's just been a joy. I find my heart always helped, when I'm here at Heart of the Bay and when I have a chance to share in public or like the form is now through the streaming. I just, my heart's more refreshed just being with you and sensing of your love and the assignments God has for you, and that you're planted in the house of the Lord. And this is where we flourish. You have to be planted. So I just want to encourage you, like Pastor Mark said, come take your place in the Father's family physically and enjoy God's presence, His Word, and His goodness, and continue to carry Christ in you wherever you go. It's
Amen.
A beautiful thing.
So, Father, we just lift up Brother Keith. We lift up Sister Heidi to you, Lord. Thank you for the things that you're doing in their lives. Thank you as they go along the rest of this year, Lord God, that you are strengthening them with might by your precious Holy Spirit in the inner man. Mm. Thank you, Father, for all the assignments that you've given him. We declare in the name of Jesus every assignment fulfilled, every need met, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Hallelujah.